For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Believe in Vikings with BMAC and Baker. I am your host, Dustin Baker. We have a regular show tonight with the whole gang. We think we'll be in the house. Brian McKinney, Sally from Minneapolis, Ron Saw, and of course, Dustin Baker. I am here. We're going to chat about some of these weekly Vikings topics. Let's talk about some cap space, whether or not Vikings will just roll over about $9 million for the following year. Talk about how we'd react to a Wolves-like trade that went down this past week where the Timberwolves gave up a bunch to get a bona fide man in the middle to contend for a championship. Maybe a little KJ Osborne talk. Just a typical July, couple weeks out of training camp Viking show. That's on the docket. We got you covered there. But first, as always, we're going to talk about betonline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals, Major League Baseball, and fighting news, or even next season's NFL early future bets at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV, that is BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. The whole gang is back and intact on July 6th. We're going to talk about some Vikings cap space stuff. Some of the Wolves trade, we'll let that bleed over into the Vikings and maybe try to think of an equivalent or something like that. But I first want to know, Bryant, how was your 4th of July? What did you do, big man?
My 4th of July was actually relaxing because I did everything like lead me up to it. Yeah. So I did nothing but relax and recover and try to regain my voice.
Oh, yeah.
I have friends in town, so I basically hung out with them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And by the time Monday came, I just wasn't in the mood to really do much, but just kind of lounge.
Was this NFL Miami friends, or was this just some of the other
brands? It was just friends that were coming to town from, like, Philly and Atlanta and everything. They all wanted to come to Miami, so
yeah,
I kind of, like, was a tour guide.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That can be tiring.
Yeah, it's very tiring. Now you're entertaining about all weekend long, and then by the time 4th of July got here, I was just like, I'm over it.
Yeah, you can't let people down that are coming to visit from out of town, and they expect a certain level of entertainment from you, I bet.
Right, well, they watch my Instagram, so they're like, well, when I get there, I hope we do some of these things.
Right.
You're like, shit, I gotta,
yeah,
I got a high standard.
You got to have that voice rested for your...
Exactly, I can't sound like this.
That's your moneymaker these days.
Sally, I know right. You've been traveling over the past 4 or 5 weeks. What were you doing for the 4th?
Me?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Oh. Stayed safe in Minneapolis?
I'm a little down on, you know, that celebration right now, so.
I hear you.
I just took it easy.
Do your dogs trip over the fireworks?
One doesn't do super well, and of course, being the terrible mother that I am, I forgot to order his CBD. So he wasn't having a great time. But we didn't actually have as much fireworks as normal around here. So that was good.
Okay, fair enough. And yeah. Ron, did you do something or did you take it easy as well? You're on mute, good
You're
sir.
You're on mute.
The mute monster got you.
Yep. I had a crying kid in the background. So we started. No, but, you know, we just stayed busy with the kids. Went out to Hudson, where one of my wife's coworkers always has a big kind of blowout, a lot of fireworks and stuff. So we were able to stay out and enjoy that, and then just kind of kept it easy the rest of the weekend, Sunday and Monday. Got together with friends and pretty much just had the kids playing together. So that part was good. Relaxing, not so much when you have kids, but yeah, no, all fun nonetheless. But yeah, kind of in the same boat as Sally, where it doesn't feel the celebration isn't always doesn't mean what it really says. And then again, you have another two shootouts, but let's all be free.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets you down. But yeah, anyway, yeah. Let's break it back up.
Yeah.
Where I live in Harrisburg, South Dakota, which is a suburb of Sioux Falls, if you want to call it that, we have a big show that lasts about 20 minutes, like a half a mile from us at a park. So we always know where to go to get a sweet spot. We hang out, watch fireworks, and that's about it. So a little bit of fanfare there, but I also have an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old at home. So they were all about the fireworks.
Yeah.
All right. Last time we were on the show. Sorry, Sally, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Bryant needs to fill the listeners in on his AGT update.
All right, let's hear it. What's the latest news on AGT?
We're scheduled to be out there end of July, July 28th to the 11th. Definitely going to be on here promoting it because we need people to vote. when we go on. Also got a text message that during the ESPYs, the Bronze Company's having an event and they're looking to possibly have the NFL choir, do something in it too. So we're just waiting for confirmation there.
You said the ESPYs?
Yeah. He's having something for his company. The weekend of ESPYs must be like the weekend of like the 16th or something. I don't know.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah.
But he's having something, I guess, during the week on the 19th. And they inquired about the choir.
Jeez. This is awesome.
Now people want the choir to sing everywhere now.
I said, this is your new gig. It's your new moneymaker.
Right.
You guys booking weddings yet? Or?
Yeah. I would book y'all for a wedding.
The ESPYs are on the 20th. And I only know that.
Right. So the event he has is on the 19th.
Okay. Yeah. I only know that because Anthony Barr is nominated for one of the humanitarian awards.
Okay.
Yep. And yeah. I'm weird and I know that shit about the Vikings. So
speaking of Anthony Barr, mm-hmm. Eric Kendricks got married this weekend.
I saw a picture of that.
Okay. And,
yeah. And
yeah. It looked so fun.
Where was it?
I think, oh my gosh, it was in Napa.
Oh, okay.
And Anthony Barr was there, Anthony Harris, Harrison Smith, all those guys were there. A few of them were in the wedding.
Yeah.
Obviously Anthony Barr was in the wedding. Looked like a great time. So congrats to them.
Yeah. All of those, dudes are tying the knot. Was Harrison Smith's last year or 2 years ago?
It was last year, but I want to say, yeah, it had to be last year. I was going to say it was in the winter, but that wouldn't make sense.
No, it was about this time.
For the schedule.
I remember seeing it, trying to figure out if it was the real deal or if it was an old picture. And so, yeah, both those dudes hit about 30 years old and tied the knot.
Well, Anthony Harris just got engaged too.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's Beyonce.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, she's from here.
Yeah. So we all were hanging out here like a month or two, about 2 months ago, maybe.
Because he lives in Miami now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Anthony Harris does.
Did he sign with the Dolphins?
No. He's on the Eagles.
He's still with the Eagles, but he lives in Miami. He lives here in Austin.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So he's got like a little Bryant McKinney story there with the Philly and Miami ties. What else, yeah. Sally? Keep them coming here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But yeah, they were posting it all over Instagram. That's how, and it just looked like the most fun wedding ever. But he's been with Allie, his wife, now forever. I think they met at UCLA.
Okay.
So,
that would be
almost, it was time.
A decade. Yeah.
It was time.
Excellent.
So
Bryant, we broke the news to you last week that Adrian Peterson was going to box Le'Veon Bell. Did you get a chance to touch base with him?
Me and him are scheduled to talk tomorrow.
Okay.
I still feel like the fight is quiet, though. I thought I was going to hear more, but I guess because it's a weekend, a holiday weekend. I've seen things about it, though, but I just was waiting to hear more about it, or even Sports Channel talk about it. You feel like, have they talked about it? I don't feel like they have.
No, there was a poster that was released about 3 days ago, one of the promo poster. It's like a, I don't know, maybe I'm selling it short. It's a YouTube like promotion fight. So I don't know if it has like the same smoke that an MGM type of thing would have. And maybe that's why. And it's also just an exhibition. When Frank Gore stepped into the ring, the only thing I remember is that he was going to do it. And then he won. And that was it. So
I think a lot of people like to see those like exhibition type of things. Like they like to see athletes do other things outside of their sport. You know what I'm saying? So like, even when they used to have like jock jams, you would see like the rappers playing basketball, just things like that. You see everybody do different things. People like that.
Well, and like golf, how like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
right.
What do they call that?
The match, right?
Yeah. Oh, the match. Yeah. People loved watching that.
Yeah. I think it's because you like to see people who are elite athletes outside of their element because they look a little more human at that point. Now, I don't know how, you know, you get two guys the size of Le'Veon and Adrian boxing where, you know, clearly they're not normal human beings anyways, and you put them and let them just beat the hell out of each other. But, you know, when it comes to like golf, granted, those guys are all good golfers anyways. It's like, hey, they hit it into the woods. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
So. Well, they need a 4-1 for tennis. I play.
Yeah, they do. And that is what they need.
To see me on the tennis court. Believe that.
Yeah. Well, I was about to ask you if you would ever do a fight, but you can't risk it. You have too many other activities. You have the choir and you have tennis. So we need to find someone to play tennis with you.
Yeah, but
that'd be a back to the fight. I'd like to see that person that would sign up with a fight because you're not. It's not like you're going to be. You know, first, Phil
somebody
Lodehold,
said that to me before. And they were like, "This, and they like see me and Shaq fight."
You and Shaq?
Dude, oh, like the Mac and Shaq show.
Oh gosh!
Well,
yeah,
Shaq's not in the shape he was in his playing days, where it seems like you've gotten in with all the activities and everything. Like you're what, like those typical offensive linemen where you're probably losing weight, where it looks like Shaq is bulked up quite a bit. So not necessarily a good way either.
Yeah, Sally, last week I asked him if he would consider stepping into the ring for the right price. And he said, well, I'd be a heavyweight compared to those guys.
Yeah.
So Dustin,
are you saying it's not a pay-per-view then? It's just on
YouTube?
No, it is
a pay-per-view. Oh. But
they'll find their way to make money off of it.
Yeah, like it's not like quite like you'd the Vegas type of promotion, a Floyd Mayweather fight or some shit like that. It's
an undercard for sure. But
yeah, it's a YouTube sponsored event, which you can't sell short and be like, oh, it's just YouTube. But I think the reason that it's not like McGregor versus Mayweather is because it's just two
amateurs,
free agent football players on a YouTube thing in Los Angeles.
And I wonder if they're going to have other fights too, because that's probably going to be a lot of money just for one fight.
Yeah, I think
that long.
There'll be a full slate, but these will be the most known names on it other than whatever the headline is.
Sally,
I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see them talk crap.
We said, because there are gambling odds on this, and Le'Veon's favored. And unsurprisingly on this show, we aren't convinced that Adrian's just going to be a walkover because he seems like more of a beast than Le'Veon. He's 7 years older, I think. But
that's what I was going to say. Is it just an age thing?
Yeah,
size-wise, they're pretty comparable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. What about
Adrian?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be kind of weird for this show to be pro Bell. especially in this somewhat meaningless capacity. Brian, I was going to ask you about this. This is just a tiny little thing that I saw on Twitter. Antoine Winfield was at the World Series of Poker, and I was wondering if he was a poker guy back when you knew him intimately.
There was some game called Bouvray that everybody used to play. So like him and all of them, they would play that, you know.
What was it called?
So, Bouvray.
Bouvray? Okay, I've never heard of that.
I haven't heard of it.
Either. I don't know why all athletes know this game, but like you ask anybody else, I don't really know what Bouvray is.
That's the one that Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden, you know, taking to the NBA side where they got in their disagreement.
It seems like all the athletes know it.
Yeah, but, all the athletes are. Yeah, I have no idea how to play it, but I've heard of it.
Right, it's a card game that people played, and so I could see him going transitioning from Bouvray to poker.
Yeah, there was a pokerblahblahblah.com that had a picture of him up, and then I Googled it to see if this was new, and it looks like he's been doing it for about 6 years. And he retired in 2013, I think. So I don't know. I don't know how he did. I think the event started on July 3rd and it goes 3 or 4
How many
days.
Years did he play? He retired in 2013.
Oh, yeah. He 9 for the Vikings and 4 for the Bills.
And then, you know, along the same lines, you know, Brian, I'm sure you remember at least the name Richard Seymour. He kind of did the same path where he went the poker route, and he actually, on all accounts, turned himself into a pretty good poker player. And I guess, you know, when you got the bankroll and you have the time, and obviously, you know, to be a pro athlete, you have to have that dedication to learn a skill set. And that's, since you practice enough on anything, you can get better at it. So, yeah, I saw that Winfield doing the World Series, and I haven't seen any of the TV coverage to see if he did anything, but it's cool to see names that you recognize, you know,
right,
again, making that transition. Yeah. Like doing something that theoretically we could all do, if we had the, you know, if you had the funds, but
I would have never guessed that Bouvray was spelled this way, Bourre. And it's popular in Louisiana, similar to spades, but even this says it's a popular game for pro athletes to play during flights and road trips.
Really?
Yeah. Exactly when they play it.
Yeah. And it's a gambling game. So that's pretty cool. Might have to learn.
You don't game on spades, though, but I don't know.
What'd you say?
I never knew how to play.
Spades? Me neither. Me neither.
Well, I know how to play spades, but I never learned how to play Bouvray.
Why not?
On my flight back, I'm not trying to think no more. Like, I normally think about the whole game and everything. I'm trying to relax, take a nap.
You play poker, Brian? You play poker at all?
No, I never played poker before either. No. I know I play spades.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Winfield played 14 years in the NFL, 9 with the Vikings, 5 with the Bills, retired at age 35 after Adrian's MVP season. One thing I want to ask you, Brian, I've probably asked you this before. This is kind of along the same lines. What do football players normally do, generally speaking, in July? Do they hang out? Do they party? Do they train? Like before training camp, what does a football player do?
Both training, go on a last minute vacation, hang out. Like, yeah, so you're still getting your training in, but you also want to take your little last minute vacations because once the last week of July come, it's Groundhog Day for the next like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks for sure.
Do most of
them? Like, you have no attachment to the outside world. You don't really know what's going on because everything is football for like the first like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they stay in dorms and stuff like that no more, right? They're probably able to go. I don't know what they do now, but I know we didn't have I know we didn't have anything to do with the outside world pretty much. You weren't watching TV. Like, it was like all football. Like, you didn't know what was going on. Every day seemed the same as that day.
Yeah. And for the most part in the spring and summer, do they stay in shape? Do they train or do they go balls to the wall?
Once you start back your off-season workouts in April, like, you're working yourself back into shape. Everybody's getting back into shape.
Okay.
And then you have your OTA. So now you're getting used to having helmets back on again, too. Because, you know, you go without them helmets, you put them back on, your neck is used to holding that up, too. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why you have the helmets on at the practice. You get your neck used to holding it up and, you know, doing all those exercises. And then I think the whole process is just gradually working yourself back into that playing shape. And then you get like that 6 week break from mid June to the end of July of
right now. Yeah.
Just take another break. And that's more mental. But at that point, now put yourself in a position where you've had mini camps and all those things. And you have a certain amount of condition on you. So you want to kind of just try to maintain it, because it's hard to do things to put yourself in football shape, because football shape can't really be simulated because you're not pushing anybody around physically. Like, you know what I mean? But you just wind-wise, just keep yourself in some type of shape that you're not winded. But football shape, and that's why like a lot of people feel like you need a certain amount of training camp or something. And in some people, it saves them. I feel like as you get older, maybe you don't probably need it as much though. But it's a certain part of you're going to need. Like, you can't just jump in a season and I feel like you can just be in like certain level of shape. Like, you got to play yourself into some type of shape.
And with that, I'm sure there's a ramp up period, like, you know, when you're off and you're like, all right, I'm 2 weeks out of training camp or whatever, a month out, where you kind of have to get to a certain point where you're comfortable to start training camp. But is that something that's a routine every summer, or is it as you get older and the longer you play that you kind of have to adjust that year after year and kind of just play it by ear on how you and your own body feel?
I think a lot of people have routines and they try to just stick to their routines personally, and they do what they're used to. Some people, as they get older, like learn more things about their body, themselves, nutrition, and then they'll try to incorporate that. So it just depends on the person.
Gotcha. How important would you say training camp is chemistry wise with your teammates?
I think you do need it to a certain degree. Just because chemistry-wise, getting used to playing, especially offensive line, getting used to playing with the person next to you and having that rhythm. And even with receivers and quarterbacks, is getting the timing down of throws and passes. Like, I mean, throws and catches, it's a timing thing, too. I mean, like, to me, mainly on offense. So offense, you got to remember, offense, everybody has to be on the same page. For, you know, to play to work. But defense is like, everybody can blow coverage or an interception can happen or a sack can happen, and it's a big play. So offense, I feel like it's more needed there.
Yeah. Well, Mankato training camp is a whole nother world than now, for sure. I think the only players that do the dorms anymore is the teams that have training camp out of town.
Okay, so these guys are able to go home now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the facility is in Eagan, which is right by where they live now.
Okay. See, at the time, they would have us go to Mankato just to eliminate distractions, because they didn't want, you know, family, friends being there to distract you or keep you up late at night and all those type of things. So it's like, just to eliminate distractions for 2 weeks, we're going to bring you down to Mankato where there's nothing here but Walmart, a nice pizza place. I forget what the pizza place is called.
I remember it. Yeah, I can't think of what it's called right now either, but the pizza place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, what about training camp like in 2006 with Childress versus the one with Tice? Are training camps different markedly per coach?
Well, even when you get a new coach, once you get a, like a first year, like new coach, he can require more OTAs, which I was like, oh gosh, we got a new coach, so that means you gotta be there longer and have more OTAs. But coaches, I feel like all coaches want to come in with their scheme and their rules and how things can go. I think Coach Tice, by him being more of a player coach, he could look and sense better of how people feel. Tice would dog us out sometimes in practice, and that's how we had seasons where we start out 7-0 and then, you know, go downhill, because he had already had us into a certain degree of shape, but we were burning out because it was like, okay, love the gas. But Coach Childress, I think he just was coming and trying to just do a lot of things different. And one thing about Coach Tice, he always knew, like, okay, let me get him a break. But he also made sure that we worked. And when Coach Tice was there too, it was the time were a little different because you still could have 2 days. But by the time Coach Childress was there, it was only one a day.
Yeah.
Was that a bargaining agreement thing?
Yeah, they changed that from going. They changed that from college and the pros, where you couldn't do 2 days anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just I was making sure randomly, Bryant, that you were already in Baltimore by 2011, and you were. And then I noticed that you only played 12 games in 2008. And that's because you got suspended, right? Was that suspension bullshit?
2008?
Yeah.
Oh, in Minnesota? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, you suspended me and I still got paid. So that's I got paid because I didn't, nothing really happened. Like, you just tried to suspend me before you could get, like, you know, the verdict of what took place outside of the situation. So, I mean, I was like, well, I got to pay suspension. So I was off from working for 4 weeks, but I got paid like I was there.
Really?
4 weeks?
Yeah, that was a brawl. They called it, right?
The first four
games.
What'd
you do?
It was a fight.
Got into an alleged fight, but that didn't start it.
Oh, was that at the gas station?
No, that was at, you know what? I just talked about that too. No, at the gas station, I never got into a fight. At the gas station at the time, it was somebody else had got into a fight there, and me and Marcus Johnson were inside and we ordered our food. It's called like Bob and Steve's.
Bobby
or something
and
like that.
Steve's, yeah.
Right. So we ordered food. Some random people that we don't know got into a fight. The man, the owner, whoever, the manager, whatever, he called police. But when the police came, he asked everybody to leave out the store. But the guy who called the police said, y'all don't have to leave because your food is almost done. So me and Marcus stood at the thing. And I just like, I ain't going to make eye contact. But all of a sudden I heard somebody say, didn't I say that? And I told him, I said, well, he said, and he was like, let's go. And it was like, the guy was like, I guess trying to tell us, you know, was trying to explain to them that he was the one who told us to say. But I'm going to tell you what's funny, what happened with that. That's another thing that I dropped. Some random kid, I don't even know who the kid was from his day, and they went to University of Minnesota, had videoed the whole thing and turned it in and was like, those guys don't absolutely nothing. And that got dropped because of somebody who went to Minnesota. And he sent the video in and was like, they wasn't even doing anything.
Oh, wow. Because
this
him.
Was the Bobby and Steve's by the Metrodome, right? Like right there on Washington Ave, or, you know, University or Washington, whatever.
It's Washington, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So luckily a random person was there and
yeah.
recorded it and sent it in. And so that's why that just went away. But when it goes out in the news, it's like, I said the news. Oh, that's yeah. like, yeah,
well, especially then. Especially
nobody
then.
Says, like, well, randomly they just got, you know, the cop came to them because he was trying to kick everybody out, but we were told to stay in there because our food was almost done. So we didn't know what to do, man. You called the cop and said, but you didn't feel no way about us being there because you said our food was almost done. We waited. But the cop didn't know that. So he tried to explain that. And the cop was just like, and I heard the cop in the car come out, guess who I got back here? And the guy to the other cop, he's like, who's that, Brian McKinney? So they're like, you're just being a jerk at this point because you're bragging to your friend over there. And then guess what? Everything had got dropped because of a student who was outside who was like, I guess, videoed and whatever, and just showed everything and it got dropped.
What about
so we can search that and then show you and probably tell you about a student turned in the video and it got dropped.
What about
but that didn't make news though.
Did you get arrested?
Yes, he took us to jail.
And booked in the jail and all that? What?
Yes, but nothing happened afterwards.
Were you losing your mind knowing
I was like, what is this for though? It was just they took me and Marcus.
Yeah.
it was just like unnecessary. And we basically were hungry. We were trying to get out. And paid for it and never got it.
Oh, no. That kid was probably trying to get famous on TMZ or something for sending in the video and then it was nothing.
I don't even know who he sent it into, but it got somebody the right person's attention and then they were like, oh, we're dropping this.
Now, were you at least more to blame for the Miami brawl that you got suspended for, or was that one faultless as well?
Miami brawl. I actually had a brawl, but I didn't initiate it. It was a security who, it was with one of a friend of mine, and I tried to like stop it, but then he slapped my phone, and then they were like coming after me, so I had to defend myself. And then when they did the research on that, it was like, I was defending myself at this point. It was video cameras and stuff out there. And then that too. Got dropped,
jeez.
And the NFL had to end up, you know, paying me for those 4 weeks I missed.
So. Yeah.
Not bad getting a nice 4 week paid vacation.
that year I missed and they played the Colts. I wanted to play the White Freeney at home. They played the White Freeney that year and I wanted to really play him again. I hadn't played him in a while, but I missed it because I was suspended.
Yeah, and they Vikings lost 18-15.
Why did it take them 4 weeks to investigate something that seemed pretty simple?
I don't know.
Did they just come out and suspend you because you were part of
the call? I think they just suspended me. They didn't like wait to see like
yeah
the situation. It was just like, all right, well, we're just going to suspend you 4 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was probably around that time.
And they messed up my streak because I never missed a game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd be pissed.
I would have had a longer streak because I never missed a game, but I missed a game from the 4 games that you end up having to pay me for. But I've never missed a game in my career due to injury or nothing. So that kind of messed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that is. That is.
Well, we have a training camp schedule.
Yeah.
How does everyone feel about that?
I limited it last week. Training camp for the Vikings this year. Like the dates.
What do you mean by schedule?
They have announced like what practices are what, who can attend at what price for this year.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I lamented it last week, Sally, because you were right about the Saturday night practice that's not there. And I had I had operated under all spring and summer that would be there. And so the weekend that I would go, based on my wife not having to take any work off and then our plans, now is going to be just some chintzy non-padded practice. So I don't even know.
Is there a practice like that on a Friday night or something now?
Monday night.
They made it Monday night.
Monday night. Yeah.
Weird, right?
Because normally I feel like they did that practice for the fans.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's the thing. They're gonna probably be minus my $100 what I would have spent there because I'm just.
Well, it's $10.
No, but my kids buy all the shit.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know what that's about. It's always Saturday night. It was always Saturday in Mankato. I think it's always been Saturday, the second Saturday. And like I told you, I had heard that they weren't going to do it then, but I didn't hear Monday. And I can't figure out why they would do that. I thought there must be some sort of conflict or something because like I heard that it was going to be the Saturday before, which definitely wouldn't have made sense either. Mm-hmm. But then I look at the schedule and they have a day practice on Saturday. So what could the conflict be? I don't know.
What's the date of that?
August 8th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So no Monday night, that's going to be kind of weird, but
yeah.
And then they play the 49ers.
Yep. They get a scrimmage.
So that'll be cool. Mm-hmm.
In the preseason?
That and like practice scrimmage.
Okay.
For 2 days.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How did they get to the 49? What happened to Kansas City?
Well, it was Denver last year, probably because Peyton went there. And I'm going to guess that this is just a backroom deal with Kwesi's employer for 6 years in San Francisco. Just to guess.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where he spent most of his NFL career with the 49ers. And he spent 2 years with the Browns. And now he's here.
So, speaking of the Browns, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Out. Finally.
Yeah.
That quarterback room in Carolina is pretty comical when you look
at it.
It's
deep.
And just how they went from Cam to Teddy to trading Teddy to get Darnold. Like it's hilarious to watch how it all played out and to have the number 1 and 3 picks in the same draft from 4 years ago. So
yeah, now they have Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, rookie Matt Corral, PJ Walker, and some dude named Cheek Davis.
Cheek.
Yeah, like an ass cheek. Yep, Cheek Davis.
Well, I mean, for a 5th round conditional pick, why not?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. For him, absolutely.
Yeah. And
Matt Rhule trying to save his job, and
the Browns are paying for about 70% of his salary.
Wow.
Yeah. So
really.
He took a little bit of a pay cut, I think, for the deal to get wiggled with the numbers. Probably under the guys that you're going to be the starter. So will you please do this? But I think the lesson to take away is that in the February, March, and April, the quarterback carousel trade market is just astronomical, like in terms of what you can get. But if you wait for that shit until the summer, when there's only 2 teams left, the Seahawks and the Panthers, it's just pennies on the dollar. Because I tweeted about, you know, the Vikings paid more for Chris Herndon than the Panthers did for a QB1. And it was the same price as we traded for that Kerry Bardvik guy 3 years ago.
Yeah.
5th rounder. So,
well, I mean, they kind of blew it. I mean, that relationship was so fractured. The other teams had all the leverage anyways there, you know, so.
So yeah, the Browns might be paying for Watson and Mayfield, but starting Jacoby Brissett for a lot of the season. Very, very weird.
Kev Stefanski, how the mighty have fallen, right?
Yeah. Speaking of trades, let's transition to a couple somewhat recent or current Vikings topics. I want to ask you this, Sally. So when we get to our one of our August shows, I joked a couple weeks ago that you're probably going to predict 9-8 record or 8-9 or something like that.
I hope not. I hate the middle.
Whatever record, is most mediocre, yeah. You'll probably predict.
No.
But here's my question. And it might be tricky because I can't give you names. But if that shit happens again and it's 9-8 and they get the 8th seed and blah, 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 and they're going to have to figure out a way to trade Cousins to a place that he consents, would you endorse a Wolves-like trade by the Vikings to really shake it up in a seismic way, to do something emphatic?
Well, it's difficult, I feel like, to compare the NFL to the NBA in that way, as I'm sure you guys agree, just because if you're giving up so many key pieces in the NFL for, say, like a quarterback, you know, then you're going to struggle at those positions that you gave up, you know. yeah. And also, as far as the draft picks go, a first round draft pick in the NFL is typically a lot more valuable than a middle to late draft pick in the NBA. And if they really believe that the Wolves are on the track of where they're going to be making the playoffs year after year, their draft picks aren't going to be that valuable. So I guess it really depends on who the player was, but I would be inclined to say no.
Really? Okay.
Even I don't know. It depends who it is.
If it would have been like
You're giving up. Like if you're giving up, like, I guess the players that the Wolves gave up were kind of role players and, you know, Pat Bev. So I don't know.
Would you have done the same trade that the Broncos did for Russell Wilson?
Oh my God. Remind me what picks they gave up for him. It was a lot. I know.
What was it?
It was like three first rounders.
That's what I thought.
Two or three first, Noah Fant, some other.
With the Broncos, I think I would, just because the rest of their roster is really good.
Yeah.
Especially the defense, right? Like, with them, I feel like they were kind of a quarterback would take them to the next level, especially in their division.
I feel like, though, last year at this point, you could make the argument about their defense kind of being elite, but they've lost a lot of pieces since then. Obviously, Von Miller leaving. Shelby Harris was one of the guys that got traded. He was, a big piece of that defense as well. Obviously, they have Surtain in there, and Justin Simmons is an elite safety, but they've kind of lost quite a bit of pieces over the past couple of years. And even offensively, it's Noah Fant, whatever, he's hasn't moved the needle a whole lot, but he's still a young tight end that can stretch the field in the middle. And for them to leave it up to Albert we'll just call him Albert O, because that's what they call him, just based on his measurables. Granted, Wilson's never utilized the tight end anyways, but I mean, for the Broncos, I get it. You make that move. If you're the Vikings, I don't think you make a move like that, because like Sally said, it's first round picks in the NBA are completely different than in the NFL. They're obviously more valuable, and to get rid of a lot of players like that and draft capital, again, under the demise, or under knowing that you already have Kirk Cousins in that contract, so to wrap up close to $50 million in the salary of a quarterback just by getting rid of Kirk, as well as players on top of that, I wouldn't have been for that, because we had, I would say, more holes than what the Broncos had when the trade went down, although the Vikings have filled quite a bit of those since the draft and in free agency.
So you're okay with the Wolves trade, but probably
I love it, because first round, if you put the name Josh Okogie to five or to whatever, all the four first round picks, it means absolute nothing. And the players that they got rid of, they were in a unique spot that they have, getting into Wolves fan line here, but getting into a unique spot, they actually had depth on the team. And I was saying all along, like, they need to consolidate some of this depth to get a starter to pair alongside Cat. And they went out and they not only just made a move, they went and made a huge impact move that's going to make it a lot of fun as a Wolves fan and as season ticket holder. I was at the Gobert press conference today. So they send out an email and it's just like, I work in North Minneapolis, so close to it. I'm like, hey, who wants to go with me? Let's check it out on the way home from work. So
awesome.
But yeah, so I'm all for that move, but also On the football side, bringing it back there, it's hard to find one guy to plug in that's going to be an absolute outside of quarterback that's going to be an absolute impact player right away. And it's just, you know, even if you bring in, let's say it's an Aaron Donald, if you want to be equivalent of a defensive player and a defensive player, Aaron Donald, yes, he impacts a game in so many ways that don't show up on the stat on stat book. But is that going to elevate you and bring you this Vikings team or the current, the latest iteration of the Vikings team into that Super Bowl conversation? Probably not with the pieces that you would have to get rid of in the draft capital. So it's a lot harder to compare those the way that the trades take place. But if you look at it as we're trading a starting right guard who in Oli Udo, and just because guys start, like, then it's, hey, you can get an upgrade just by, again, seeing what else can fill in.
Neither one of you is shaky about saying, oh, those picks will just be lower first anyway. Like, that just, it seems like dangerous thinking. That's what the Lakers said too.
It is. And it's, you know, the Minnesota, I just hate when people refer to it as like, it's like a Herschel Walker trade, because it's not. It's absolutely not. And even when you look at the history of the Timberwolves drafting, like, it, again, just outside of how bad they've missed, take their last five or six draft classes or draft picks that weren't the number one overall pick, and they're all pretty much hot garbage. Like, I think Josh Okogie is the only one that was on the team for multiple years. Everyone else, you know, it was Chris Dunn. It was, oh geez, I don't know, Justin Patton, like guys who didn't do much. Now you can hit on guys late in the draft. Obviously Desmond Bane out of Memphis is a good example. And you know, some of the other guys that are there, but the likelihood of you finding that guy based on their history and based on where you potentially may be picking, it's not going to be there. And what then people forget is you can always pack, if it's not working out, you can then package the guys you have on your current roster and get picks back at some point within the next, you know, 7 years or whatever it is.
All right, Sally. So
I'm changing my mind for a second though. Because the closest thing that I can probably compare this to for Vikings wise is 2016 when Teddy went down, right? And they traded for Sam Bradford. Obviously, they gave up so much less than we're talking about with the Wolves here. But I, at that point, coming off winning the division in 2015, to me, their window was the widest it's been in how long? I mean, since 2009,
6 years at that point. Yep.
Right. I mean, that team was young enough, talented enough, and they, like I said, they had just won the division.
Yep.
I would have been okay in that situation with Teddy going down if you want to give away three first round draft picks for I mean, even for Sam Bradford, I guess, like, it didn't work out. But when you're that close, I feel like you have to take a risk like that. And I obviously I was destroyed when the Sam Bradford thing happened for like a couple days, and then it's like, this is what they have to do. It didn't work out, obviously, but you have to take advantage of the windows when they're open, I think.
Well, you could,
and it would have been really hard as a fan to get behind a Sean Hill led offense for an entire 17 or 16 games at the time.
And you
that would have been nowhere.
You can see precisely why they did it, because they got to where they almost wanted to be the following year. I mean, of course, it didn't have Bradford there, but the defense was nearing the peak of its powers in terms of athleticism and the players in their prime age. And so Spielman was on to something there. It's just that he picked a guy with a bad knee. Sally, so I've got the Seattle trade with the Broncos, and the players that were involved were Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, and Drew Locke. So I'm going to flip those into Vikings personalities, and you tell me back in February if you would have traded. Now, you have to figure out something to do with Cousins that's pretend. But this is what you would have had to give up for Russell Wilson: two first rounders, two second rounders, a fifth, Irv Smith Jr., Dalvin Tomlinson, and Kellen Mond.
Well, that last one, with that last name, it's an automatic no. It's an automatic no. I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't know enough about about Denver's roster as a whole to really say, but I guess I would say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're guaranteed with Wilson at least 6 to 8 years of being in the mix.
Look at what the Rams did, how many picks they've given up, and it paid off.
Well, yeah. And then the last 2 years in the NFL, Super Bowl champions have been led by quarterbacks who joined a team that was just all they needed was a quarterback to win. The Brady Bucks, Stafford Rams. If you follow suit this year, it shall be the Wilson Broncos. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of this cap space. Let's see here. So the Vikings right now, by both reputable sites, the Spot Rack and Over the Cap, the Vikings have $11 million, but that's before they actually sign Ed Ingram and Andrew Booth, who are curiously just spinning in the wind. So they should have about $9 million when it's all said and done. And you can roll over money to the next salary cap. So if Kwesi wants to put a bow on it and save it for next year, so be it. But Ron, do you expect them to use this $9 million this summer, or will he just sit on it?
I mean, I think ultimately they will, depending on what the right fit comes available, whether that is Dominican Sue or, you know, like we had mentioned before with Kyle Rudolph. And me, again, that's my biggest worry, is just the lack of tight end two on this team. So, again, doesn't have to be Rudolph, but I would like to see someone, and obviously not at the contract that would be there, because you're still going to need salary throughout the year in case there's any injuries or anything like that. But you don't see a team that has the aspirations, you know, to compete for a division title that leave that much cap room on the floor. So I think they'll make something. I don't know if there's any extension in place or what that would be. But I think they'll find one way to utilize it. One area that I think to look might be the veteran kicker market, depending on who gets released, because obviously they let the Berkic kid or whatever, they let him go. So there goes that competition. So, you know, it seems like Kwesi is definitely in the mold of looking for upgrades, and he'll address them as he sees fit. So it'll be used. I just don't know where.
Sally, the Vikings do need a tight end too, unless they have special plans for Johnny Munt or using CJ Ham very creatively. They could probably also stand to use a third edge rusher. Do you think they'll use this $9 million in the next couple months, or just save it for a rainy day?
I think that they should. And I think they probably will.
Your headset or your microphone's up.
I think that they should, and I think that they probably eventually will. Remind me, what's going on with Anthony Barr?
Anthony Barr?
He's still on the roster?
No.
He isn't.
The linebacker, Anthony Barr?
Oh, okay. I guess I missed him being released. Anyway, okay, so they're not going to get more money.
Anthony Barr just wasn't brought back.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I've been out of touch.
And he's been in the rumor mill for the Cowboys and Jets and the Cardinals. And when I had Ben Lieber on my YouTube show, he thinks that Barr is going to retire, or might retire, because of a bad knee. But
Okay. Anyway, I mean, I think yes, and I think that they should spend it because they still have holes to fill, as we said, and people will be dropped after training camp. Mm-hmm. And there will also, I mean, I hope not, but there usually always is a few training camp injuries, and that is going to be need to address as well, depending on who that may be. Hopefully no one, but.
One thing that I always find strange is right now, about a month and a half from now, the NFL will shrink like half its size, going from 90 to 53 in like a single day. It's like very, very odd how a team can go from half its size to from 90 to 53. So, all right, well, we shall see. For tight end two, Eric Ebron's out there, Kyle Rudolph, Jimmy Graham, yada, yada, yada. And that would probably be an upgrade on the current roster. Sally, what is your segment for the group tonight?
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit before we started recording. Our least favorite quarterback, our nemesis, just got a new tattoo. His first tattoo. I don't know if everyone has had a chance to take a look at it. Bryant, have you seen it?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting. So we've got, okay, here's my thoughts on it. There is a ton of line work, and it is extremely intricate and detailed. There's so much going on. We've got an angry roaring lion at a calm lion. We've got the like seeing eye. We've got the Illuminati. We've got, the horizon with the ocean. But the thing that's really standing out to me is we have the astrology at the top. We've got a Sagittarius symbol and constellation, as well as Aquarius symbol and constellation, and Virgo. So there's a lot going on. So I researched Aaron Rodgers' birth chart. You know, I'm very into astrology. And unless the people who are putting up his birth chart are wrong about his place of birth and time of birth, he is not an Aquarius rising or Virgo moon. Oh, so he is a Sagittarius sun. That's correct. So I'm wondering, what calendar is he using for his reference? I mean, there's just so much going on here. But what do you guys think? I'm confused.
Well, my favorite tweet on the topic was somebody that said that he got a tattoo that looked like a conversation with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, that was great. it was the tattoo, or what is it? What do you want a tattoo to look like? Or have you ever heard Kyrie Irving talk? Say no more, fam.
Like, yeah, that
perfect. Oh, I definitely get that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to the whoever did the tattoo, because the detail is phenomenal. Those lions look fantastic. But yeah, the rest of it, no idea what this is. And
it sounds like a lot.
It's Google busy. I don't even know what the bottom is. Is it like supposed to be like an abstract phoenix or what?
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you on the artist. I've seen a lot of people shitting on the person who drew this. I mean, I don't know how you can even put this to paper. There's so many ideas. There is so much going on. So I think the artist actually did a really good job. But what do you think's going on? Like, I've seen some players, for example, Kyle Rudolph, and now this is completely different. I feel like Kyle Rudolph one off season transformed into this guy that had sleeves.
And
all
Irv.
Of a sudden.
Remember, we talked about 96 questions, Irv. Yeah.
But I feel like with Kyle Rudolph, like, I feel like Irv has that personality, right? Like, he has that swagger about him that tattoos on him kind of just look, they look like they belong there, right? When Kyle Rudolph leaves, like, in the offseason and comes back with two full sleeves, it was like, what?
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of feel about Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's not the guy you would look at and think he's going to have this huge tattoo on his forearm that
we know, like, which forearm it is. Like, is it, are we going to see it every time he goes to throw the ball, like, and a follow through?
I think the Rodgers from 4 years ago, this would be really weird, but the Rodgers with the long hair and then the playing word games with the COVID vaccination, this one to me, this fits, not in a good way, but it fits.
Well, wait, I forgot he's got the witch girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
There is a lot going on with him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. And isn't he vegan now as well?
Probably.
Oh, I bet they love him in Green Bay for that.
But, Brian, okay, let me ask you. I mean, obviously, we're not judging people's, like, nutrition decisions. But, I mean, could you ever be a vegetarian and be an athlete, you personally? Not a vegetarian, a vegan. Like, I just don't know how you can get the amount of fuel.
Have to ask Bryant that one.
I was asking him.
Oh,
yeah.
You're asking the panel.
I don't know if I ever thought about. I never did think about that.
Cool. I figured you did.
No. And then, you know, you got everything, like, prepared and, like, ready and all that. Like, you don't need to be a vegan for the most part, unless at lunch you're just eating. You come with your own lunch, and there, or lunch you're just eating the vegetables and stuff there, eating the sides. That's all it is. They just don't eat meat, but they eat all the stuff. Because I see some vegans that are still big, and I'm like, why are you big? But it's like, you're still eating carbs. So.
Yeah.
You say it to them.
I mean,
well, one of my friends, I was like, well, you kind of, you know, a big individual, but you're vegan. But you assume that vegans are going to be like, I don't know, slim or small, but no, you're eating carbs, so that's why.
Prince Fielder was a vegan. If you don't remember who that is, then... If that guy's a vegan, slim is not a word that needs to be used with all of vegans. All
I think I feel like you just automatically assumed, because you see other people who may have been vegans who were like, you know, slim, but then it's like, And they made it seem like your digestive system and everything just moved so much better because it had to digest meat. But no, you're feeding all these carbs and all this other stuff.
But you are right.
You're still eating everything that clogs your arteries. You still got
I think on the most part, with the stereotype or not, vegetarians or vegans are usually slimmer, but I think it's because they're health conscious. It's not because they're like refusing to just pig out on stuff. I think it's just because they're making the vegetable decision because they're health conscious, right, and therefore aren't eating shitty foods. All right. So yeah. BMAC, you're going to check on the feasibility of Adrian next week.
Yep.
Okay. You let the group know, and then perhaps then we'll tease it on Instagram and Twitter, whether or not we have Adrian for the second time, but first time for Ron and Sally. Anything else, Sally, Ron?
Oh, geez. No, I guess not. I'm still staring at the tattoo. So
it's got me
involved. I would say they did a good job on that tattoo. I looked it up too. I feel like
the detail's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. For all those ideas, but I mean, yeah.
All right. Well, on Roger's tattoo, we'll be back next week with or without Adrian Peterson. And you guys have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Okay. Have a good one.
Go, baby.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.